This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Here we are again at the Sue Freeze Show, and it's so good to be back with you today. You know, I'm really humbled today, and I'm really excited because I have a guest with me today. And this guest I've known, I don't even know how long, but a long, long time. And, you know, friendships come, friendships go, but no matter how much time passes, those true friends, you never lose that feeling of that closeness. And that's what makes it so beautiful to have these wonderful, wonderful friendships and relationships. Today I have Ken Kraft, and to give you a little background, he's the president and CEO of Hope of the Valley Rescue Mission, located in the San Fernando Valley. After spending 15 years of his life in full-time pastoral ministry, through his own poor choices, he lost nearly everything, including his marriage and ministry. God began restoring his heart and life. Today, he spends his days helping others who have hit rock bottom, providing them with hope and essential life services to rebuild their lives through the programs at Hope of the Valley Rescue Mission. Welcome today, Ken.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure for me to have you here. And you said that nothing is off limits, and you said that you just want to be real. And I love that word real, and that real is becoming real to me because that's what I'm about. I'm the same every day, and people say that that's comforting and reassuring because they know that what to expect. And when we're real, it means that we can be vulnerable and we can be transparent. And when we can be that way, the other person on the other end can feel the safety of knowing they can be that way too. And that's where true healing comes from, is from us being able to be real, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's funny because oftentimes we try to live by certain standards and goals and measurements, and when we don't, we oftentimes face the wrath of people that don't approve, and so then we tend to want to pretend that we're something maybe that we're not, and that certainly keeps us from being as real as we probably would like to be.
That is so true. Personally, I can say that, you know, I went to your church, and when I first came to your church, I had come from a healing time in my life, a real strong healing where the Lord was totally in control because I had reached rock bottom. And I don't even know if you know how much of this story, but I had reached a point where I felt totally helpless. Like I didn't know what to do next. And no matter what I did, it wasn't going to be good enough. And I couldn't fix what was broke. And so I went through therapy. I was given the opportunity to be in a place where I could concentrate on healing for myself, a safe place where I could go. And, you know, I realized so much during that time that true healing is when we can really look at ourselves and see that we are hurting and that there is wounds, and also being in a place where it's safe. So many people go through life and it's not a safe place for them. Mm-hmm. And it means that they can't get the healing they need because they have to have this protective shield around them to keep them protected so that they never really can be real and really let their most transparent and their most vulnerable areas be known. Because mm-hmm. if they did, oh my goodness, they're going to be judged or whatnot. So let's put on this facade. Let's put on this face and let's be something we're really not, so that we can be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, listeners, if there's anyone out there that can relate to what's being said right now, but it's real. And, you know, the devil wants us to not get the healing we need. The devil wants us to stay in this facade, this lie, because if we do, we can't be used as much for the Lord if we stay in this state of dilemma. So Ken's here because he's experienced this firsthand too. He made choices, as we all do, don't we? We all make bad choices sometimes. And we do have those choices to make every minute of every day. And we do have an option. We do have a choice on which way we're going to go. And the devil can come in and tempt us. And it's up to us to be strong and to avoid or turn away from that. And even if we get caught up in something, we have the opportunity to change, to turn, and go another direction to get the restoration that we need. You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about restoration. We're talking about serving and getting the healing that we need. And if you're tuning in and you know somebody that might want to hear this and you know you can't get a hold of them right now, don't worry. It's okay. You can tell them to go to Sue Freeze, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and there's 3 years of podcasts on there that you can choose from. So be sure and let people know about this show. And we are syndicated. We go to San Diego. We go up to Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo. Hello, all of you. Welcome to our show. And so Ken Kraft is here, and he's going to talk about his ministry, and he's going to talk about whatever the Holy Spirit leads him to talk about. And, you know, we feel the presence, and we can feel that you listeners, that you have needs out there. You have wants out there. We can't see you, but we know all of us have struggles. And so I just am believing that the Lord and the Holy Spirit's going to guide us, and that you can get one golden nugget out of this show. And this golden nugget could be the nugget that you need that can change your life forever. Not maybe just for today, but forever. So stay tuned in and listen to what's being said. So Ken, let's just start with an easy one. What is Hope of the Valley Rescue Mission all about?
Well, I know you've alluded a little bit to my past, which is it's been up and down and in and out. And I always joke and say, wouldn't life be wonderful if it came with an editing bay where
yes,
we could
would.
Just edit things and cut things out and say, you know what, we're going to leave that on the floor and we're just going to re-piece things together. But unfortunately, life as it is, it has its ups and downs. And in my own life and through my own season of brokenness and pain, I say, and I've learned more through my pain than my pleasure. And I've realized that sometimes you don't realize that God is all you need until God is all you have. And when you hit bottom and you look up and you realize that you need the Lord, everything else really doesn't matter, but you need the Lord. And so for me, you know, having been in pastoral ministry and having moral failure and having to stand before the congregation and confess and walking out the back door of the church and just incredible amounts of shame and pain and embarrassment and disgrace and then trying to rebuild in a local community, which is very, very difficult. I look back and think it probably would have been better to go to the East Coast. But unfortunately, fortunately, I have children. And first and foremost, I'm a father. And being a good dad was very important to me. But through all my own brokenness and pain, God, as he so often does, he recycles our pain and he uses the pain of our past to prepare us for a future that is oftentimes far more than we could have ever anticipated or expected. And so through my own pain and brokenness, God opened a door of opportunity for me to begin to minister to people that truly have hit rock bottom and that are in a very desperate place in life. And that's what Hope of the Valley Rescue Mission is. It's a mission that we rescue people that have their lives oftentimes are riddled with addiction or riddled with pain or abandonment or abuse and they don't know where else to go. They're living on the streets. They're living in the parks under overpasses. They're living in their cars. They've been completely oftentimes rejected and abandoned, and they don't know where else to go. And so when they come to Hope of the Valley Rescue Mission, there's incredible compassion and love and grace and we believe that no one extends beyond the grace of God. And so we reach out and meet people at their point of need and begin to love on them and help them and empower them and give them the tools that they need on a spiritual level, on an emotional level. And basically what we do is what the kingdom of God is all about. It's interesting in the ministry of Jesus when he came, it says the first thing he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to what? Preach the good news to the poor. And so right out of the gate when he began his ministry, he had a heart to bring the good news to the poor. And so that's what I find myself doing these days is bringing the good news to the poorest of the poor here in Los Angeles.
That's so awesome. And I came and visited didn't I? And there's a store there. So if you like to thrift shop, there's a shop that you can thrift shop at, which is fun. I met some of the people that have been fed and have a bed to sleep in. I've seen the facility, and I'm amazed because there's so many people that are in need of this. And I was in San Diego this last weekend, and you know, the weather has been really, really cold at night. I had to turn my heater on, and I really hold back from turning the air on and the heat on because I try to be prudent, and I just open up the windows and whatnot. But it got cold enough to where I had to turn on the heat, and I'm indoors. I have four walls around me, and I have blankets that I can put over me. And there were people on the streets that I was looking at them going, oh, my goodness, it's so cold out here. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I felt so sad, but there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. How serious of a problem is homelessness in Los Angeles alone, Ken?
Well, it's interesting because many people, especially if they live in the suburbs, they might think, oh, homelessness isn't a problem because they don't see it. And oftentimes if we don't see it, we think it's not there. But the reality is that Los Angeles is the homeless capital of the United States. On any given night, you have approximately 60,000 homeless people. And that's a significant problem. And the challenge is that the homelessness problem, they're spread out throughout Los Angeles. And so I happen to be centered in the San Fernando Valley. And we have about 6,000 homeless there, but we only have 850 beds. And so whereas Hope of the Valley Rescue Mission is a young mission, and many people, when they think of rescue missions, they probably think downtown because there's the Union Rescue Mission, the LA Rescue Mission, the Midnight Rescue Mission, the Fred Jordan Rescue Mission, all wonderful missions. But it's very difficult for them to then in turn reach out to the homeless that are in the other areas of Los Angeles. And so we strategically planted and started a rescue mission in the San Fernando Valley called Hope of the Valley Rescue Mission. And we when we started it 3.5 years ago, we came up with, and here's my pastoring background, had to come up with five H's, but we came up with what we're really all about, and that is providing hope, hot meals, housing, health services, and healing to the hungry, hurting, and homeless in the San Fernando Valley. And so that's been our mission. That's been our charter. That's been our purpose from the very beginning. And what's driven us is this incredible need. I mean, if you drive downtown in Skid Row, you can't miss it. I mean, you've got 10,000 homeless people in a 6-square-block area. But in the San Fernando Valley, yes, you might have 6,000 people, but they're spread out from Chatsworth to Sylmar, from Calabasas all the way out to Glendale. And so it's spread out. And so our approach to homelessness has been a little bit different. We have to be mobile and reach out to people where they're at, but it's still a significant problem. And as I mentioned, you know, for us, it starts with hope. You have to give people hope. The suicide rate among the homeless is very high, and I understand why, because they reach a point where they feel that they have no reason to keep living. A number of years ago, there was a single mom, and she had three children, and I was running a family shelter, and she came to the shelter, and she was there for a while, and she was almost 2 weeks away from getting into her own place, and then one day her children walked home or walked back to the shelter, and her mom wasn't there, and it was really out of character for her, and so we started asking around, had anyone seen her, and no one had seen her. And that whole night, she didn't come back again. And these three children, one was 11, one was 7, and one was 4, and they were there, and we were taking care of them. And then the next morning, I was driving in listening to radio, and they talked about a woman that had been hit by a train. And I didn't think much about it until I got back into the office. And unfortunately, this mom had just come to the end of her life, and she stepped right in front of the train on purpose and took her own life and left her three children. And we oftentimes forget where people are at. Sometimes people are in such a desperate place and you can't tell from the outside, but they need people like you and me to love them where they're at and to give them hope. And so that's what we do. We start with hope, and then from there we work through the hot meals, housing, health services, and healing.
That's amazing. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And we're talking to Ken Kraft, and we're talking about the Hope of the Valley Rescue Mission. And you know, I was thinking about this, and the homeless people, they don't have a home, and, you know, they might be living in their car, or they don't have any transportation, a way to get to downtown LA. So planting a rescue mission where they are is what you were saying is that we need to go where they are because they can't come to you. And so we need to have these kinds of things more often or closer together so that people can get to them. Even the Meals on Wheels, you know, is great because you send meals to them instead of them having to come to you. And, you know, those of us that are listening that have comforts of life, that we've been blessed, thank you, Lord, for a house. And no, you know, it doesn't come easy. We have to work hard for what we have. And I get that. But there's so many people that might have just had some hard times, you know, just some tough times. There's other people that just don't know any other way. I have a gentleman, I bought a building for Ecola in San Diego, and there's a gentleman outside my building that has been sleeping outside the building for I don't know how long. And I went to him when I bought the building because he was laying, he would put his sleeping bag out every night. And I would see things that I didn't want to see in the morning, and I didn't like that. But I didn't really mind him sleeping there, so I went up to him, and I just said, hi. And he said, hi, and he could speak English and everything. You know, I didn't know what his past was, but he was sleeping in front of my building. And I said, my name is Sue. What's your name? And he said, Sean. And I said, hi, Sean. I said, how long have you been in this situation where you've been sleeping in front of a building? I mean, how long has this been going on? I goes, you know, I really don't know because I don't have a watch and I don't have a calendar, but I think about 10 years. And I went, 10 years? I said, what did you do before that? And he says, I was a truck driver. I said, you were a truck driver? I said, what happened? He goes, I got my second DUI. And so he's an alcoholic. He has a problem with alcohol. So he lost his job. He lost his house, probably lost his marriage, but lost his family. I didn't get that far into conversation with him. But then I asked him, I said, you know, how do you do this? How do you do? He goes, you know, I really don't mind it too much. He goes, it gets difficult when it gets really cold. And sometimes I have trouble because I need to eat. And so it was just interesting. And I also offered him a job to clean the weeds out of the whatnot and whatnot. And so we've put him to work a little bit, but he really just enjoys his simple life. But he doesn't know how to get out of that life. And I said, you know, have you ever tried to stop drinking? And he said, oh, yeah, many times. And I said, he goes, oh, I stopped drinking right now. And I said, for how many days? He said, 3 days. And I went, that's really good. How many times have you stopped drinking for 3 days? He goes, oh, I don't know how many times. And I went, oh, so sad. But you know what? You have to have the desire to change. Yeah. You have to reach that rock bottom sometimes to look up and see the Lord.
And, you know, a lot of people are unaware of the fact that there's really two categories, I call it, of homeless. There's the situationally homeless, then there's the chronically homeless. The chronically homeless are the people that we typically see on the side of the street, and they might have a sign that says, we'll work for food, or maybe you see them pushing a shopping cart down the road, talking to themselves. And oftentimes there's that mental illness and that drug abuse and this dual diagnosis, and that's who's most prevalent. But right now, in the United States, 41% of the homeless are families. Families, and the majority of them are led by single moms with kids. And that's what breaks my heart. And so, you know, one of the things that we're committed to doing, yes, I am deeply concerned about the chronically homeless, and we provide life essential services to them, and we build a bridge so that we can get them into our drug and alcohol recovery programs and help them rebuild their lives. But when it comes to the situationally homeless, I mean, the number one reason why people are situationally homeless in Los Angeles is a loss of a job. They've lost a job, and most people do not have savings. Mm-hmm. And so you lose a job, you don't have savings, so then you get evicted out of your place, you're living in your car, you can't pay your registration on your car, you lose your car, and there you are in a place that you never thought you'd be. Recently, last week I had a woman who came to our shelter, and she was sobbing, and I didn't know she was there for the shelter. She just was crying. I said, are you okay? And she says, no, I'm not okay. I said, what's wrong? She goes, I can't believe I'm here. I mean, I used to serve in rescue missions, and now I'm here. And I remember holding her in my arms and just saying, it's going to be okay. I know it looks horrible right now, and this is not the place you'd necessarily choose to be. But you know what? God will use even this. And this is not where you're going to end up. You know, this is just, you got to hit bottom to springboard back up. Mm-hmm. And so we begin to work with her, and she's actually went for a job interview today. And so, you know, things are turning around, but it's this situationally homeless that, see, a single mom with kids, she doesn't want you to see her because she's afraid the Department of Health and Services and, you know, they're going to take her kids away.
Yeah,
and so
terrible.
They're under the radar. But, you know, we've got some exciting things planned for that as well with the Genesis House, which hopefully we'll talk about.
Okay. Well, we'll have to make time for that. So you make sure that happens, okay? How can people make a difference in helping the needy? How can people help?
Well, I think it starts with awareness.
Okay.
You know, if you're not aware of it, you know, you can't act on what you don't know. And some people, I don't think, want to be aware of it because mm-hmm. it makes them feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this is our opportunity. I mean, you know, the whole issue of caring for the poor and the homeless is not a minor issue in the Gospels and in the whole Scripture. I mean, there are so many references to caring for the poor and the homeless and the needy. And even Jesus said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts with an awareness. Then I really think for Christians and believers, it starts with a theological foundation that says this is not optional. This is something that I'm required to do. This is something, if, you know, how can you say you love God whom you haven't seen if you can't love your brother and sister whom you do see? And in 1 John, it says, how can you say you love someone and be unwilling to give them the basic necessities of life? How can you say, you know, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And then it says, the Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what does it mean to love your neighbor? If I love my neighbor as much as I love me, well, then if both of us are hungry, then he'll get half and I get half. But we don't like to talk about that, especially in America, you know, and because we think people deserve what they got coming to them. And so it starts with that awareness. And then it starts with, I believe, a theological foundation that says, you know what, I need to love people, all people, not just those that are lovely. I need to love individuals and help them and help them rebuild their lives. And then very practically, what can you do? When you see people, you know, I encourage people, offer to pray for them. And the big question always comes up, well, should I give somebody money or should I not give them money? If I give them money, are they just going to go out and use that for drugs and alcohol? And typically, I don't recommend giving money, only because oftentimes that is the case. But I would say this. Listen to the Spirit, okay? Really be sensitive, because I don't want to say don't do it and maybe God's leading you to do it and you do it and it really becomes a life changer for that person. And then also, there are incredible rescue missions all over this area. I mean, from in your whole listening audience, I mean, all the way up from San Luis Obispo down to San Diego. And rescue missions are great because they're on the front lines helping the hurting and ministering to the poor and the needy. So I'd say get involved. I mean, help cook a meal, serve a meal, do a clothing drive, do a hygiene kit drive, you know, disciple, teach, mentor. There's so many ways you can help. And so I encourage people, find out who their local rescue mission is and get involved.
I think that's awesome. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And we're talking to Ken Kraft, and we're talking about the Hope of the Valley Rescue Mission. But also we're talking about Ken Kraft, his life, you know, how he got to this place. You know, we all have a story to tell, don't we? And, you know, we wouldn't really appreciate the good times if we didn't have some bad times along the way. You just don't appreciate it as much. And, you know, to be real is a wonderful thing. So, Ken, I'm just going to ask you to, if you feel the Lord leading you, we're going to be going to break soon. So this is just a short little tidbit here. But I went to your church. I went to your church, and you were my pastor. And you were an amazing pastor because the way you delivered a message was so easy to take and also put into action. You were one of those pastors that when I first started to come to your church, when the first time we came to check out your church, you shook my husband's hands and you were telling him all about, you probably don't even know this, but you were telling him all about all the functions that you had at the church, you know, because you wanted people to get involved. And you were saying, we have softball and we have this and we have this. And I talked to my husband about it and I said, I'm not looking for a Club Med church. I'm looking for a Holy Spirit led church. And so we almost didn't come back because you were at Chuck E. Cheese at the time. And, but you know what? We ended up coming back. And that church was our home for 8 years. And we served in that church because we had been healed from a lot of things in our marriage. And it was an amazing transition going through that with you. And then the church was growing like crazy. I just remember the church growing like crazy. And so after we go to the break, I just want you to talk a little bit about kind of what happened and be real. Just a little bit, you know, because I know there's probably people listening that it would be healing for them to hear. So we will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun, that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, Microwave Process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
So we're back. And before the break, I had asked Ken to think a little bit about what he's going to say. And I'm sure he's just letting the Holy Spirit guide him. But just a little bit of backstory, because I think we get hope from feeling hope. When we hear someone else's story, we can learn from it, and it gives us hope. So I'm going to hand the mic over, and I'm just going to let you talk a little bit about, you know, where you came from and, you know, so on.
Great.
So go for it.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate the opportunity to share my story. And I've made a commitment to the Lord that anytime He would give me that opportunity, I would be very, very honest, very real, very transparent and vulnerable, because I have nothing to hide. You know, I was brought up in a Christian home, had a godly mother and father who trained me in the ways of the Lord. I knew right from wrong. And in high school, headed up Fellowship of Christian Athletes and would have over 100 athletes come into my house every Monday night. We'd have professional athletes and collegiate athletes that would come and kids giving their lives to Christ. It was a really remarkable time. And through that, God began to really place a call on my heart to full-time ministry. And so I went and got Bible training, went to Life Bible College, and at a young age, at 19, began serving full-time in pastoral ministry. And that was wonderful. And at around 23, 24, I really sensed the Lord beginning to lead me to pioneer a church. And so went to Simi Valley and pioneered a church and didn't know anybody there. It was could have been another country as far as I was concerned, and started knocking on doors and asking people if they went to church. And if they did, I told them to keep going. If they didn't, I tried to find out why they didn't go to church, and really wanted to minister and reach out to people that did not go to church. And God's grace was on that work. I mean, it was, you know, in an 8-year period, the church grew to oftentimes over 2,000 people in attendance on a weekend, and probably about 5,000 that called the church their home. And over that 8-year period, started 5 different churches in different areas. And it was really God's hand and blessing was conspicuously on it. And again, it was His hand and His blessing. I was just a vehicle and a vessel that He could use. But, you know, it's funny. I get a chance to talk to men a lot today, and I remind them there's 3 things that will always potentially trip you up, and that is the gold, the glory, and the girl. And the gold wasn't one for me. I can live a very modest life. It doesn't, you know, that's fine. The glory, relatively humble. I really don't care about having my name anywhere. But it was the girl. And what happened is I was a virgin when I got married. And I loved my wife. But through a series of events, I began to make some small compromises. And over a period of time, those small compromises led to a big sin, and that sin is adultery. And it was a very, very painful season of my life, and because here I was standing up in front of people and telling them of God's love and God's ways and preaching the word, but in my own life there was something that was just dreadfully wrong, and I remember crying out to God, how do I get out of this? But the truth was, the only way out was confession. But self-preservation is a powerful force. We do not like to come clean on things, because we know that as soon as we do, you're going to have to pay for it. And it's kind of like going out and having a fine dinner. And, you know, I'll take that. Yes, and I'll take this. And give me 2 of those. And give me 3 of those. And then the bill comes like, what? I have to pay for this now? And so, you know, somebody once said, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and make you pay more than you want to pay. And so, unfortunately, here I was as a young man, had experienced nothing but God's favor and blessing in my life, started this church, and again, nothing but God's favor and blessing in my life. And then all of a sudden, I crashed and I burned, and I'll never forget the most painful day of my life was having to look at my wife in her eyes and tell her that what I had done. And that only began the pain. And then having to stand in front of the thousands of people at the church. And it got so painful that I contemplated suicide and thinking, I just don't think that I can handle this. And there was a moment where I was living in a studio apartment and I felt like I didn't have even though I had friends, I felt like I didn't have a friend in the world to turn to. And I remember crying out. And it was as if the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, there's a story where Jesus had fed the multitudes and they all began to walk away. And Jesus turned to his disciples and he says, are you all going to leave me too? And I believe it was Peter that turned and said, Lord, where else can we go? You alone hold the words of life. And I felt it was one of those kind of gestalt moments where the Lord said to me, so are you going to walk now? And I remember in this studio apartment crying out and saying, God, where else can I go? I really make a lousy sinner. You know, I really do. And Lord, I love you and I feel so unworthy. I don't see how you could even use me ever again. And through that, I just began to even study the scriptures again. And I began to see life in a new light and of God's redemption and in incredible leaders such as David. And Moses and Peter and I began to see that God uses broken vessels. He uses ordinary people in extraordinary ways. And so through my own pain and brokenness, and it's interesting because, you know, contending for redemption at the point of infraction is never easy because oftentimes people, they don't want to let you up. It's easier to keep someone down. And so in the process of that, of just, you know, trying to rebuild my life primarily in the area because that's where my children were, it was not an easy process, but God has been faithful. And through that, he's opened up this new door of opportunity to take my pain, my brokenness and the things that I've experienced and begin to now help people that are really even a far worse position than me. And it's really interesting. And how I got into this was after the failure and the brokenness of my own life, I got a job working for Equifax and National Credit Bureau, and I was doing sales across the United States. And someone came to me and said, who was a director of a mission, and said, have you ever considered working with the poor and the homeless? And I said, no. And he says, would you come shadow me for a day? I just really think maybe God has something for you. And he was a friend, so I indulged him. And I went to the Ventura County Rescue Mission, and it was with Jerry Roberg, and I cried the whole day. I saw man after man after man, and I said, that could be me. That should have been me. That should have been me. And he came to me afterwards and said, you know, if you're open to it, I think I have something that might help fulfill a real need inside of your life to love and care for the least of these in Jesus' name. And that's how I ended up transitioning to working with the poor and the homeless.
What a great story. And that should give those that are facing issues, no matter where it touches you in this story, you know, there's a message here, isn't it? There's more than one message. But he is the Redeemer. Our Heavenly Father is a Redeemer, and he loves you. And he is a forgiving God, and he will give you grace. All you need to do is ask him. Just ask him, and you shall receive. And Ken even said that he felt unworthy, that, you know, all those things he said, and the Lord met him right where he was. And all he had to do was just look up and reach up. And that's what you need to do if you're in this place, if you're in this arena where you feel that you're just, there's nowhere to go, and you feel hopeless and helpless. Look up, ask the Lord, and he will meet you right where you are. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And we're talking to Ken Kraft, and we're talking about the Hope of the Valley Rescue Mission. So, what is the Genesis House all about? Because you said you wanted to touch on that.
Well,
so let's do that.
As I mentioned, that the 41% of the homeless population is women and children. And all you have to do is spend 1 hour or even 10 minutes with homeless moms and kids, and I know your heart will be touched because these are oftentimes moms who've experienced, it could be abuse, abandonment, setbacks in their life, and these kids who've done nothing. And so we at the Hope of the Valley, we started the Johnny White House of Hope, which is for men in recovery. And after we did that, I got a phone call from someone, and he said, listen, I got something that might interest you. I said, well, what is it? He says, I've got a 12-bedroom house. Six bathrooms. It's 3,750 square feet. And he said it was purchased by, or actually built by the Catholic Church in the 1950s for nuns in training. And he says, I'd like you to have it. He says, I paid $620,000, and if you can get a loan for $310,000, just take it over. It's yours. I said, well, let me go look at it. And so I went and I walked through it, and my heart just burned within me. I thought, man, this place is perfect for moms and kids. And so I called him back up and said, listen, I'm very, very interested. And so I got one of our board members to give us a loan on the place. And so we are now in the process of renovating this home. And we're actually, through the help of HomeAid and California Home Builders, we're putting $245,000 of improvements in it. And it's going to be an amazing 30-bed facility for homeless moms and children. We will take them off the street. All the kids will be involved in school and mentoring. And we're going to be helping the moms to, you know, with the skills and all that they need to become fully functioning adults back in our society and to give them the resources and tools. So I couldn't be more happy. This should be open by Mother's Day, and we want to have a grand celebration, and with all these moms that will be coming in, you know, do a makeover and pedicure and manicure. But to me, you know, if it's not the people of faith, who's going to lead the way? And so we have an incredible opportunity to reach out to those in need. And so the Genesis House will be coming online. Right now, we at the Mission, we do have an emergency shelter for 50 folks, and then we have our men's recovery program, and we have a lot of other programs. But this one has a very special place in my heart, just because the vulnerability index is very high when it comes to moms and kids. And so it'll be open by May 1st.
You know, it's such a struggle, and I experience this because I have employees. I have quite a few single mothers working in my call center at Ecola, and there's one in particular, without naming names, that really had a tough time. Her husband was not so kind, and it takes so much courage for a woman to pull herself out, especially with children, to pull herself out of a bad situation. If you're in that situation, I feel for you. I really, really... I can't even imagine, but I know that this person that I experienced firsthand is, I found resources that could help her, and she got the support she needed in order to make some changes. And has it been easy? No. Has it been worthwhile? I think if you asked this young lady, she would say absolutely. Her kids are better off, she's better off, and her future is in front of her. But it takes courage, but it also takes resources. It takes people walking alongside, and it sounds like the Genesis House and other homes and missions like this and ministries like this are there. We just need to know where to find them and how to find them. How would somebody go about reaching out to you, whether it was somebody that they know that needs a bed or food or... you said there are so many services are available through this ministry, this mission. What would they do to get a hold of you?
Yeah. Well, and there's so many needs, as you said. I mean, we start with hunger. And as a mission, we now do over 92,000 meals a year. And that's just in the last 3.5 years. And then over 26,000 nights of shelter. And so, you know, we are a leading provider of homeless services in the San Fernando Valley. So if someone's in our area, I'd say call us at 818-392-0020. That's 818-392-0020. And even if you're not in our area, feel free to call. We have case managers that if we can't provide that need for you, we will actually get involved and help make phone calls for you and try to get you connected to local resources where you live. And that's important because sometimes when you're all by yourself and you're trying to make these calls, you know, there you could dial 211 and 211, then someone will answer and they'll give you some resources and you're just going to start cold calling all these places. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, even like locally, there's like the LA Family Housing waiting, but there's a 3-month waiting list to even get in there. And so to call and cold call, it's going to put you at the back of the line. But when you have a case manager who knows someone who's making the placements, it does help. And so I would say, give us a call and let one of our case managers work with you to see what we can do to help you get out of the situation. And for us, I know it's, you know, it's been said before, but we're not giving a handout, but a hand up. We don't want to enable people, but we want to empower them to change their lives for good. But it starts by someone saying, I need help.
That sometimes is very humbling and difficult to do. And I just recommend highly, listeners, if you know somebody or if this is you, you know, just say that you need help. And you can get the help that you need. If you can't remember or you don't have a pen to write down the number, just remember SueFree, spelled like fries, one word, .com. SueFree, spelled like fries, one word, .com. Go there, and I will have all the contact information on there. It's under Helping Hands or under Podcasts. It's by name, date, and whatnot. But if you go to Helping Hands, I'll have the information so you can get connected, because my show is there to help connect. Connect the dots. Connect and give us hope and help. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And we're talking to Ken Kraft. I think we've already talked about what you've learned. Is there anything you want to add about what you've learned? I think you touched on it.
Well, when you go through failure, you have choices. You can get bitter or you can get better.
Oh, I like that.
I've learned a long time ago, and I taught my kids, the way you spell blame is be lame. And so let them blame others. And so I take full responsibility for the decisions in my life. And I look back, and as I said, I would love to have the option of editing, but I don't. So it's interesting. It's kind of like I have a big scar across my face, and you know, you could try to cover it up with a lot of makeup, but you only look kind of silly. You know, it looks like, you know, what are you trying to hide? And so it's much better just to be real and to say, you know what, that's a scar. It's a pretty deep scar, and I'll tell you how I got it. And I was preaching to a group of men outside of Phoenix, and I shared my story, I mean, from the beginning and in much more detail, and I shared for about an hour, and I shared, you know, God's redemption, God's grace, God's power, and how oftentimes as men we tend to hold on to secrets, and we don't want to share with anybody at all where we've been or what we've done, and we swear we'll take it to the grave and those kind of things. But I was very candid and honest, and I said, listen, I'm going to be around afterwards if any of you would like a prayer. I kid you not, men stood around for 2 hours waiting, and none of them knew, because they would all come up to me and they had enough space between the guys behind them, and they'd whisper in my ear and they'd say, I know what you mean. I did that, and nobody knows, and my heart aches, and guys were like just pouring their hearts out to me, but what happened is they had scars, but their scars were maybe, you know, symbolically underneath their shirts, underneath, you know, on a leg, and it was covered. But my scar is very open, you know, because I was in a very public place. And so by people seeing our scars, they're willing to say, you know what, can I show you my scar too? And then all of a sudden you begin to realize, you know what, we have scars, but only Jesus can heal those scars. And so it doesn't do us any good to cover them up and to pretend they're not there and that that's not really me. No, it is. It's who you were, but not who you are. And scars are a reminder of a painful past. But scars are a reminder that God's grace is greater than anything we go through, and that He is the ultimate healer. I have a big scar on my arm because I had melanoma cancer, and they went in and they took it out. Just on Saturday, I was walking and I looked down and I saw that scar, which is almost 2 inches long, and it reminded me that I could have faced death, but God saved my life. And scars remind us of where we've been and remind us of God's incredible goodness towards us to heal and redeem our lives.
Oh, my word. There was a song I used to practice singing, and there was a song called Scars Are for Healing. And when you kept saying that, I kept thinking about the song about Scars Are for Healing. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And I guess I would say that scars are a reminder of our healing.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, we have to, the cuts are deep, but we have to cut it out. It's like the root. You know, if you have a bitter root, you have to cut it out from the root and pull it all the way out. And sometimes that's really difficult to really get down there and get it out of there. But you know what? We need to do that in order to get the healing we need in order to move forward and be real and to be totally present. And hearing your story, I'm sure, for listeners out there, it's giving them hope and giving them maybe the courage to actually come clean with themselves and maybe expose that secret to just one safe person. You know, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. You're not keeping the secret from God because He already knows. He knows every hair on our head. He knows every word before we speak it. But you know what? Sometimes we just need to let it out because then it's no longer, it has no power. Once you let it out, go ahead.
You know, it reminds me, I believe it was Rick Warren that once said, revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing.
Ooh, I like
that. And it starts when we can reveal it. And but as long as we keep it in the dark and we can't, and that's where I was. I mean, who could I tell? There was, I couldn't see any way out. But when we can be honest and real and share our feelings, then the healing can begin to happen. But it starts with having someone that we can go to and be honest and real.
Amen to that. It's funny that you mentioned Rick Warden because I get emails from him on a regular basis, and I pulled this out for today's show. Amazing, isn't it? And it says, four things happen when you use your life to serve and bless others. Number one, you learn the secrets of joy. You get the focus off of yourself. And the scripture is, my life is being poured out as a part of the sacrifice and service I offer to God for your faith. Yet I am filled with joy, and I share that joy with all of you. Philippians 2:17. And then he wrote, you use your gifts to help others. God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. That's 1 Peter 4:10. Number two, your relationships will be improved. Your attitude must be like my own, for I did not come to be served, but to serve. Matthew 20:28. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Proverbs 11:25. Number three, your life will be full of meaning. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. Mark 8:35. And number four, you'll leave a legacy. Good people will be remembered as a blessing. Proverbs 10:7. If you want to be great, you must be the servant of all the others. God is fair. He will not forget the work you did and the love you showed for Him by helping His people. And He will remember that you are still helping them. Hebrews 6:10. This goes right along with what we're saying. And you know, you're listening to this show today. You're listening to Ken's story. You're listening to the mission, Valley Rescue Mission. You're listening to what their mission is. And you know, you might be asking yourself or telling yourself that you need to get involved. If you're not involved serving in some capacity somewhere, maybe this is the ministry that you could start serving at. If you feel the need, if you feel your heart tugging at you, if you feel the Holy Spirit prompting you, you know, don't deny that. Don't have a deaf ear or not pay attention. Pay attention to what your body's telling you. And if you feel led to be involved, I'm sure Ken would welcome you to help and to serve in some capacity. And I'm sure that he has facilitators at this mission that can help you find the best place for you to serve, right?
Absolutely. We would love to have you involved.
There's so many different avenues that someone could serve. So any gift that someone might have could be utilized at your mission.
Absolutely. Whether it's computers or whether it's the homeless children, cooking, serving, cleaning, we can use everybody.
And you know, when I was there, there were some truck drivers and there was some big, big box trucks. And in these box trucks was there was desks, there was all kinds of things. So if you're a business owner, as I am with Ecola, Ken came to my office and he saw desks in my hallway. And I didn't think about it when I was at his thrift store. And I didn't think about it, but I have a lot of things that I no longer need. And he says, well, we can use them. We can take them off your hands. You know, no problem here. Just give us a date and we'll be here. And so if that's you, understand that those things can be given and they can be utilized to help these people that need our help. So whatever the capacity is, give Ken a call. Look at Sue Free, speltlikefries.com. Get the information and connect yourself with this organization. Ken, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
I really appreciated everything you said. And I think that people know a little bit more about you personally, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Amen. And you are forgiven, and you know what? God loves you. So love one another, serve one another, and be a blessing to someone each and every day. God bless you.
God, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven, and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy, and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. E. coli has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. E. coli keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call E. coli today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. E. coli, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.